Matthew chapter 28, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and they became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and they did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. If you drop down to verse number 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I wonder where you're at this morning. Are you going to worship him this morning, or are you going to doubt him this morning? See, in order to worship him, you got to know him. The woman at the well figured that out. Amen. And you got to know him. Do you know him? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God this morning. We thank you, Father, that you are our Savior, our Lord, our soon coming King. God, I pray this morning that you would help us in the message for a little while. Speak words, our Father, that would challenge our hearts together. Help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, save the sinner this morning. Lord, I pray the saints of God would worship you. Lord, you sure are worthy. You're the only one that's ever been worthy of worship, Lord. Now I pray, Father, that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The songwriter wrote, penned down the words, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I want to this morning to just address that subject, because he lives, in this chapter for just a little while, and trust that God would help us. Let me get right into the message. I just want to say, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 1, the Bible said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Let me tell you why the church doesn't meet on the Sabbath day. Because we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave on the first day of the week. And the first day of the week is Sunday. And beloved, I want you to know, and early in the morning, Mark chapter 16 verse 2 said, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. I want you to know, because he lives, beloved, there's another morning on the horizon for the children of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? This was a glad morning for these ladies. This was a glad morning for the disciples. Honey, I tell you, there's been some glad mornings in my life, but there's a glad morning coming like you've never seen before. Beloved, the bright and morning star, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come again. The Bible said weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's a morning coming, beloved, when God's people will never weep again, never ache again, never sorrow again, never hear bad news again. Amen. And thank God it's because of this morning that he got up. One morning you and I will get up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Because he lives, there's a morning on the horizon coming for the children of God.
The Bible said, knowing the time, it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. I just want to say this morning, beloved, the day is at hand. If you're going to do anything for God, you better get up off your seat and do nothing and get to doing it. Because the day is at hand. Jesus is coming again. And beloved, time will be no more. And beloved, while we have time, we ought to serve Him with all of our heart. Amen. The Bible talks about Jesus said, I sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. He said, I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bride and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Come and listen. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. He which testified these things say, surely I come quickly. Jesus said, beloved, John, when he heard Jesus say that, said, even so come, Lord Jesus, amen. Because he lives, there's another morning on the horizon. I could preach for a day right there, but I want to move on in the message. Because he lives, number two, not only is there a morning on the horizon, beloved, for the children of God. Let me say this, this is not in the outline, but there's a night on the horizon for those that don't know Jesus too. There's tribulation like this world has never known. Amen. Beloved, listen, we don't have to be afraid because he lives. We don't have to be afraid as the children of God. The Bible said in verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto them, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Beloved, listen, aren't you glad this morning we don't have to be afraid to die? Aren't you glad we don't have to be afraid of this world and what's going to happen in this world? Aren't you glad we don't have to be afraid of going hungry? Because our God said, listen, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed of begging bread. You say, preacher, do you believe God will take care of his own? Yes, I do. Amen. And we don't have to be afraid because he lives. We don't have to be afraid. Amen. The Bible teaches us, beloved, in the book of the Revelation, that this earth is fixing to shake again. The Bible said in Mark chapter 13, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in divers places. There'll be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Beloved, that's talking about an hour when Christ comes and gets the church. We're out of here. And great tribulation is going to come upon this earth. Oh, there'll be 3.5 years where it's going to be peace, peace, and everything's going to be looking good. And then Israel's going to realize they've done a deal with the devil, and the devil don't keep his end of the deal. Amen. And they're going to wake up, my friend, and the abomination of desolation takes place. The Bible said this earth is going to shake. Their men and women are going to run to the mountains and the rocks. But aren't you glad because he lives? The children of God don't have to lay down tonight afraid. Don't have to get up in the morning afraid. Don't have to live this afternoon afraid. He's the one that said, fear not. And we don't have to be afraid. Amen. Because he lives. Thank God we don't have to be afraid. You say, preacher, why? Because before you get over to Revelation chapter 6, when all hell breaks loose in the world, you got Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, when the Lord said, come up hither. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You don't see the church again, beloved, on the earth until the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. In chapter number 19 with the Lord. Amen. Oh, beloved, listen, praise God. The church is not mentioned again until we get married over there with Jesus. Amen. Then to give you this, number three. Because he lives, there's another morning on the horizon. Because he lives, we don't have to be afraid. But let's look here in the Word of God. The Bible said here, he is not here. He is risen. Somebody say those next three words with me in verse number six. As he said. Glory, glory, glory. You say, preacher, what's the next thing in the message? Because he lives, we know that his promises are trustworthy. He's the one that said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. He's the one, beloved, in the Word of God we read. He said, Jesus going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples apart in the way. He said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes. They shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. You say, preacher, why are you so excited? Because listen, what he's already said has already come to pass. And what has not come to pass will come to pass. His promises are trustworthy, amen, because he lives. Oh, wouldn't it have been a sad day if he would have said, I'm going to get up, and then didn't get up? Wouldn't it be a sad day, Brother Gale, if he said, you and I were going to get up, and then we didn't get up? But aren't you glad because he got up, we're going to get up one day after a while and go to be with him, amen, because he lives. We know that his promises are trustworthy. If I promise you something, I'll do my best to do it. But I tell you, something could happen that would hinder me. Aren't you glad? Thank God when he promises something, nothing will ever happen to hinder. Aren't you glad? Thank God his word is trustworthy and we can bank on his promises. Beloved, because he lives, there's another morning on the horizon. Oh, come morning, amen, for the children of God. Aren't you glad because he lives, we don't have to be afraid? Aren't you glad because he lives, his promises are trustworthy? Let me give you this. Listen, this is number four, but it's just as important as all the rest. Because he lives. Listen to me carefully. This goes right with the Sunday school lesson, Brother Steve. We have a story to tell. Boy, it got quiet right there. Man, we ought to shout it right there. Because he lives, we have a story to tell. You know, listen, I didn't plan on doing this way. But you know, Brother David, if something was happened to preacher this morning and he'd just pass out here on the platform, his heart quits breathing, he ain't breathed in 10 minutes. Hey, they done calling people to come and get him on a gurney. They done called a funeral home. Done called a coroner. He's laying here on the platform. I'm going to tell you something right now. Ain't a doubt in my mind there'd be a bunch of people around here praying. You wouldn't be praying for my soul. You'd already know where I'm at. But you'd be praying for Miss Eve. You'd be praying for the church. Amen. You'd be heartbroken, ain't a doubt. Let me ask you something. If about 10 or 15 minutes into that, I just sat up and said, what are y'all crying about? Honey, it would be all over Kingsport before the end of the day. Y'all ain't gonna believe this. Our preacher died. He was dead for 15 minutes. And I tell you what's wrong with us is that we're not that excited about the Son of God that gave his life, got up for you and for me. And he lives this morning. And because he lives, we have a story to tell. You said, preacher, what's the story? Well, it's the old story of Jesus. It's that story, Brother Mike, your daddy spent his life telling that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. They buried him. Yes, they did. They sealed him in the tomb. Yes, they did. But thank God Almighty, that seal couldn't hold him. He got up on the third day. Amen. You say, preacher, they rolled that rock back to let him out. No, they rolled that rock back to let us in. So we could see he was already gone when they looked in there. Amen. Because he lives, we have a story to tell. Look at verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Let me just say this morning. Every once in a while, you ought to just tell yourself a story. That's one of the reasons I believe we ought to be a witness. It's because when we tell somebody else what Christ has done for us, it warms our heart. It reminds us of how we got where we are. Amen. We got where we are by the grace of God. The Bible said here, and go quickly, tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. He goeth before you into Galilee. In verse 8, bring his disciples word. In verse number 9, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. He said in verse 10, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren. If you go down to verse 18 where I was reading a while ago, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, tell the story. That's what the Bible's talking about. Tell that blessed old story. Tell the story. I'll tell you something this morning. Listen, the songwriter said, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. How many could say this morning the sweetest story you ever heard in this world was the story of Jesus? I like what Brother John said one morning in Sunday school. He said, I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it, but there was a day when I heard it. Amen. I tell you, you can hear it with your ears, and it won't mean a whole lot, but if you ever hear it with your heart, it'll change your life. Amen. Oh, beloved, listen. Jesus said, I got you a story to tell. I got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Oh, beloved friend, I believe this morning we ought to tell that story, don't you? We see it. It's our Lord's priority. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How many believes that they told it just like it was? How many believes that they went and they started telling people, you ain't gonna believe this, he's alive. Y'all was there when they killed him. Y'all seen him die. Y'all seen him put that spear up under his side. You saw the blood and water come out. You saw them put him in that grave. But he's not there. He's alive. I believe they told the story. And I believe when they told the story, just like it is today, some said, are you kidding me? Man, that's wonderful. Others said, you're lying. That brings me to the last point in the message. He lives. Because he lives, there's another morning on the horizon. Because he lives, we don't have to be afraid. Because he lives, his promises are trustworthy. Because he lives, we have a story to tell. Let me give you this. Because he lives, some are still lying. You say, preacher, what do you mean? In this generation of the coming of the Lord, some are still lying. Well, where's the people lying in this chapter at, preacher? Well, look at verse number 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, you know what that right there is? We want you to lie, and we'll pay you to do it. Sounds like a professor in the average university to me. I met a psychologist yesterday on visitation. He said, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Talk to me out of the window. Listen, I'm not downing the man. The Bible said some are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, this is what he said. He said, I don't go to church because I know more than all the preachers. I will tell you this. He didn't have to know much to know more than I do. But I know Jesus. And you do have to know Jesus to make heaven your home. You do have to be born again if you're going to leave this world and make heaven your home. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I believe with all of my heart. Some are still lying. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at it. Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and we'll secure you. In other words, we got you back. You lie about it. Sounds like average politics today, don't it? Amen. You lie about it and we got you back. Watch this. So they took the money and did as they were taught. I told you I can't get in this scripture without thinking about the universities today. They took the money and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews till this day. Let me just say something. The universities are not the only ones lying about it. There's lies being told in the pulpits in America. You say, what do you mean? They're lying about repentance. They're lying about regeneration. They're lying about the resurrection. Oh, honey, I'm going to tell you, listen, this Bible tells the truth. You and I can understand and know that God's word is true and that God is not lying to us about the resurrection because he lives. Some are still on the wrong side of the cross. Some are still lying about it. You think about that. Aren't you glad you know the truth? Aren't you glad this morning that you can tell the truth? Beloved, let me just say something this morning. There's nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong at all. Some of us, I say us, me, could have used a little more of it. But let me tell you something. If any kind of education takes you away from that book, you better take that book over that education. B.R. Lakin's grandson came in, told his grandpa, he was a famous old Baptist preacher, told his grandpa, said, Grandpa, said they taught us down there that it was a biological impossibility for a man to be born of a virgin. He said, you go back down there, son, tell them what a biological impossibility really is. He said, that's when something got into nothing. He said it formed a blob and it washed up on the shore. Are you listening to me this morning? This is the educated crowd. And then it grew some legs. And one day it stood up and it grew a tail. And it climbed a tree. It was swinging by its tail, but its tail broke off. It hit the ground walking. Went across the street, bought a suit of clothes, became a professor in one of our universities. He said that's what a biological impossibility is. Beloved, let me say something this morning that I've been saying for years. It takes more faith to believe a lie and be damned than it does to believe that book. God's word is precious. God's word. I'm so glad. There are people in this building that got all kinds of education. My daddy, I can't remember, it was either the 6th or the 8th grade, Bobby, can you remember? 6? My daddy went to the 6th grade. My daddy was sitting right there this morning. My daddy be enjoying every word his son's preaching. You want to know why? Because God don't talk in ways that's above our heads. God puts it down there on the shelf where everybody can get him a cookie. Where everybody can understand. Paul said it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's in power and demonstration of the blessed Holy Ghost. That's what makes the resurrection real. Beloved, because he lives, some are still lying about it. But I'm glad the truth's going to come out one day. Amen. One day they're going to say, where'd they go? Then some devil's going to stand up and explain it all away. You heard me? They're going to have to. Where'd all them people go? Why, you know, that was that fringe outfit. You like that word? They say that a lot. That fringe. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad I'm at the hem of his fringe. At his garment. Beloved friend, this morning, Matthew 28 says he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. Number one, the Bible said so. Number two, he lives within my heart. Yesterday morning, shame on me. Shame on me. Yesterday morning, God stirred my heart in this chapter. I mean, stirred me up good. But yesterday afternoon, instead of diving into this chapter, Brother Rose, I chose to waller my grandchildren. I told Charity and Bob need to go to town for something, and I said, bring them youngins over here and let us watch them. What a burden. I got up this morning at 5 o'clock. I told Miss Eve, I said, I'm going to get up early in the morning. I got up this morning at 5 o'clock, and I looked at this chapter. And honey, I couldn't remember a thing that God had given me yesterday morning. It seemed like it was this dry. You've been there and done that, ain't you, Brother Gale? It seemed like it was so dry. It just seemed like, I said, Lord, I wish I'd have took some notes when you were speaking to my heart yesterday morning. I got me a cup of coffee, and I sat there, and I tried to go another direction or two, and I went back to it. God opened the windows again, Brother Winkle. God opened the windows again because He lives. It stirred in my heart the way He did yesterday morning. You say, preacher, why would you mention the stirring? We need that more today than we've ever needed it in our life.
Amen.
We need to be stirred up about the cross. We need to be stirred up about the resurrection. We need to be stirred up about our friends and our loved ones. If Jesus comes right now, we check out and they're left here for what's coming on this world. We need to be stirred up about that. We need to be a witness. We need God's help. As the president said last week, we need God's wisdom. He said that publicly. We need God's wisdom. He'll never speak a truer statement than that. We need God's wisdom. I don't care. I'm of this opinion. The wisest man in this room doesn't know who he is. But he's the first one that'll say, I need God's wisdom. Wisdom doesn't drive you away from God. Wisdom drives you to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, y'all's God, you just have a crutch. Honey, I got more than a crutch. I got a stretcher. I got the whole deal riding on it. Amen. I'm in His hands. And that's a good place to be this morning. Are you in His hands? Is the devil still lying to you about it? You're going to get up one day. One way or the other. One way or the other. There was a time when you and I were not, but there never will be a time when we cease to exist. We'll be somewhere forever. If you died today, where would you be? Because of Calvary and because of the resurrection, I'll be in His presence if I died today. Not just for a day or two, not just for a year or two, but I'll be in His presence forever and forever and forever. I grabbed a man by the arm yesterday, Friday. It was Friday. We were in Durham, North Carolina. This man's son is battling leukemia. He's been through the chemo. They've done the bone marrow transplant. They said it would take a full year. He doesn't feel well right now before they would understand if it was a success. And this man, when I pastored in Wise, didn't know the Lord. And I just wanted to think that maybe something had happened between now and then. And I said, Joe, how is it with you and the Lord? He shook his head. I took him by the arm and I said, Joe, I want to go to heaven. I said, I am going to heaven. But I said, I don't want to go without you. He was weeping, Brother Steve. I don't know what all that means. I hope it means that his heart is tender towards the things of God. I don't know what's going on in his life. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know the one who does. You can't fool him. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need. I remember 30 years ago, brother, when the Lord came by, Brother Gale, he was very much alive when he came by. Very much alive when he spoke to my heart that night. If he speaks to your heart this morning, he wants to give you life. Life eternal. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to read this chapter. And thank you for the privilege, Lord, to understand the old story.